Man, in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Thank you, Pastor Stefan Coleman, for that wonderful prayer.
Amen. Amen.
You said good morning, and I was coveting your voice. Thank you for blessing us today. Genesis chapter 22, it's just kind of difficult. It's Juneteenth, and it's Father's Day, and it's Youth Sunday. And I'm trying to include it all. Genesis 22, and it's a very familiar passage of scripture. We're hoping and we're praying that you hear it again for the first time. Beginning at verse number 1. The word of the Lord reads on this wise. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Mm-hmm. So they went both of them together. Let's stop our reading right there. The Lord God bless you real, real good. You may be seated. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Mm-hmm. So they went both of them together. I want to talk to us in this series of Christian consistency, always the same from the subject of lessons taught by a father, lessons of a father. I heard y'all talking about your fathers in testimony service, and I would contend, as much as y'all seem to talk about yo diddy and all that, ain't nobody have no diddy like I did. And the learning, the teaching that he gave to us was everlasting. I believe even when we get to glory, there's some things that he has taught us that we're going to continue to act like we're paying attention to him and not the Lord. What a great example of a childlike, a godlike faith. and the example that he gave to us, that if we could have faith like he had, nothing would be impossible. It is that faith that we look to today in our lesson. The text says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. He did test Abraham. The test did not come all out the blue. It says it came to pass after these things. What things, Reverend? Well, all the things that had gone on before, climaxing in the expulsion of Hagar and Ishmael. Again and again, Abraham had been challenged to surrender. Yeah, first it was his father. Now it was his son. And in between, it had been the well-watered plains of Jordan. Then the gifts of Sodom's king. Then Ishmael. And with each surrender, he was learning how to go just a little higher, gaining experience down in the foothills, tackling the lower glaciers, preparing for the ultimate challenge. Now then, Abraham, God says, now I need you to tackle Moriah. And it is in this amazing chapter that God shows his man off. There's not a chapter like Genesis 22 because it displays what Calvary meant to God the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, you can turn to Psalm 69 and Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 to see what Calvary meant to the Son. But it is in Genesis 22 that shows us what Calvary meant to the Father. Look at text. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him upon one of the mountains. It says, over and above the demand of Isaac, y'all, was the ultimate demand for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that, all that Moriah meant to Abraham in terms of agony and heartache and pain, that a thousandfold or 10,000-fold is what Calvary meant to God. Mm-hmm. God did test Abraham. It was examination time, and it was a tough exam. But God had been preparing his man. He had been coaching him patiently in the school of faith, giving him those little tests along the way. Y'all know, educators in here know how you give a little pretest. You give a little quiz, setting you up for what is to come. But now has come the final exam. Here was the test for which God had prepared him. All of the other tests were preparatory. And as we watch Isaac make his way up Mount Moriah, we can see Jesus winding his way up the parallel slopes of Calvary. Mm-hmm. Moriah means foreseen of Jehovah. God was not taken by surprise by Adam's fall or by the long tragedy of human sin. It was all foreseen by the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you take a watch, your watch. Its sole function is to tell time. That's all it does because it's a watch. But we have here a man. His function is to glorify God, to move in harmony with heaven. A watch that no longer truly records the passage of time has very little worth. And a man who does not glorify God in his life negates the purpose for which he has been made. You got a watch, any kind of watch. It can begin to run fast or it can run slow. It can even stop so that its hands no longer perform the function at all. And so its face records a lie. However, this whole situation had been foreseen by the designer. And when he had it on the drawing board, he made allowance for that. Built into the instrument a mechanism whereby it could be reset and rewound and brought back into harmony with time.
Right.
He knew in advance that what forces would work on that watch to pull it out of harmony with the universe. And therefore, he made provision against the day of need and built into the mechanism a little winder so that the hands could be readjusted. And the watch could be rewound.
Yeah, right.
It was all foreseen.
Uh-huh.
And just like man's sin was foreseen by the Lord, he built into the plan of creation a plan of redemption.
Yeah.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yeah.
And so he says to him, get thee into the land of Moriah.
Mm-hmm.
The demand rang through the soul of Abraham out there on those Canaanite hills, but after all, it was a mere echo of a greater demand made by God upon himself out there on the everlasting hills, a demand one day to be met at Calvary within sight of Moriah itself.
Uh-huh.
Over the years, Abraham had learned to trust God. I heard you singing earlier. He knew that God was dependable.
Uh-huh.
Again and again, he had declared, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It was inconceivable, therefore, that Isaac could die before he had children. And even if he were to be slain, Abraham reasoned God would have to raise him up from the dead.
Uh-huh.
In that confidence in a God who is utterly dependable, Abraham went forth to his test.
Yeah.
It was a test made no less severe by Abraham's magnificent faith.
Right.
Listen, you're going to be tested sometimes, but your faith is being tested because your faith has been proven to that level.
All right.
Don't fail the test. Abraham, he learns and he's teaching us, and he was teaching Isaac as well. He learned the way of the cross. It's there in the text. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told them. The decision having been made, it was now a matter of moving steadily forward.
Yeah.
And even though he has an aching heart, he's got to get to the place. The place. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, it says, and he went to the place. Oh my God, to know what's about to happen, what's about to come down. And I heard y'all talking about the aches and the pains that you have and the suffering that you must endure. Can you imagine? He's suffering and he gets up early in the morning to go to the demise or the call of the demise of his only son, the son that he loves. Yeah, he's got to go to the place. It was an echo surrounding down through the ages, an echo recorded in Luke 23:33. And when they had come to the place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him. And so it was the way of the cross that he's learning. And Abraham walked the way of the cross. He saddled his ass. He summoned his servants. He sent for Isaac. He split the wood. He set forth on the way. He saw the place. Then at last, he and Isaac came to a point beyond which the others could not go. And Abraham bade his young men sit down and wait for us to return. And with amazing confidence in God, for the return of the lad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he says, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Here it is, y'all. You got to understand that even in the midst of your test, you can go through and you be going through well, and sometimes you've got some support on the left and the right. Somebody said that's an open book kind of test. But after a while, sometimes you got to go all by yourself. You've come far as you can with the aides that have been assisting you. But now he says you've got to go by yourself. Yeah, there it is. He said this is the way of the cross. It's a terrible kind of situation, but that's what it is. Don't it sound like Calvary, y'all? Jesus was on his way there, and he takes Peter, James, and John, and they go out a little ways. And after a while, he said, y'all stay here and pray while I go yonder and pray. Yeah, this was between Abraham and Isaac, like Gethsemane was between the Father and the Son. It's a communion no one else could share. Oh, help us, Jesus. The way of the cross, y'all, gives way to the word of the cross. There, verse 6 through 8, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. That was Gethsemane. We often think of what Gethsemane meant to the Lord Jesus. But what must it have meant to the Father? What must that agonizing question from Isaac's lips have done to Abraham's heart? What did the blood-like sweat, the anguished tears in Gethsemane mean to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? They went both of them together. Mariah was not forced upon Isaac. Did you hear me what I said?
Right.
He was not dragged in chains, struggling and resisting to his Golgotha. Mm-hmm. They went together. Isaac, now a full-grown man, mm-hmm, with a mind of his own and a will of his own, walking the upward way, side by side with his beloved father. Then he put the question, the awkward probing question Abraham had been dreading all along. The young man had been left behind. The full weight of the wood was now felt by Isaac. Abraham took the wood, y'all. He had put it on Isaac's back. The wood had been there all the time, but now it had come home to Isaac that he must bear its weight. Uh-huh. Every now and then there's some stuff that's been hanging around a long time.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem bad because there's other people around. But when you end up by yourself, the weight seems to be so much greater. There it is. He said his weight is on him, and the sudden weight of it brought home to him the part that he's got to play in the drama that's looming ahead. Yeah. We can see him look at his father at that wise old face, now so drawn and strained, and in that face read something the like of which he has never seen before. His daddy ain't looking like daddy been looking. Here the sweat stood out on Isaac's brow. The weight he felt was his cross. He was carrying a load placed upon him by somebody else. And with the perspiration standing in beads on his brow, he asked, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham was ready. There was no evasiveness, simply astounding faith. He says God will provide himself a lamb.
All right, all right.
He did not know how. He did not know when. He did not know where God would do it, but he knew he would.
Yeah.
So the text says they went, both of them, together. The repetition of the statement after the give and the take of the questions indicates that Isaac now possibly knew fully what lay ahead, and that in the glory and the power of his strength, he submitted to his father's will. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt? Can you not feel what God felt in dark Gethsemane? My father, here am I, my son. Behold the cup. If it be possible, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The submission of placing himself, Jesus, into the hands of his father to slay. In Abraham's experience, there came finally the work of the cross. Read the text. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. With the deliberate care, each separate act is set down. Building the altar, bringing the wood, binding the victim, bearing the knife. Each act is recorded. And this here now becomes the place of worship. Because all of that wood and all of that binding and all of that laying was in preparation of sacrifice. Yes. And if anybody knows anything about worship, you haven't worshiped until you have sacrificed, until you have given something, whether it's a praise, whether it's a tithe or an offering. You've got to give God something when you come to worship. And it is only when the knife was poised in the air and was falling, did God stay Abraham's hand? Yeah, who can imagine what it cost Abraham to get to the place where he could raise the knife to slay his son? Yeah, so he says, I had to teach you some things, and you've learned something. You've learned the way, you've learned the word, you've learned the work, and you've learned the worship. But I need to tell you, with all of that learning,
yeah,
whew, the way, the word, the work, the worship,
yeah,
is that I got to tell you one more thing, that when you have gotten to the place of worship, ain't no need to worry. Glory to the Lamb of God. Abraham's hand was stayed. His falling knife was arrested by the sudden call of God. Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thy anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That was the truth by which God had protected him. The Jehovah Jireh, that God will provide. Did you hear? Abraham had already told Isaac Beth Yonder, before we get to the place of sacrifice, that God will provide for himself a lamb. And that's what happened there. He made provision. Yeah, though the knife had been stayed in his hand, because he was not to fall upon Isaac, it was to fall upon Jesus. God had indeed provided a lamb for a burnt offering. And so I've come to help somebody understand in here that the way might not be easy.
You're going to have to go through a way every now and then, but you got to be careful about the words that you use along the way. You heard what Abraham said to Isaac. God will provide for himself around. Your words can't be words of doubt. Your words can't be words of shaking. Your words have to be words of faith. And you still got to work. You still got to work along the way. And in the midst of your working, you got to do some things. You got to set some stuff up. And even in the setting up of some stuff, there may not be a good vision of what's going to happen. But you know you got to do what God told you to do. And in the midst of your work, don't you forget to worship God. And as long as you've been working and you've been worshiping, you don't have to worry about a thing. Because God will show up. And he might not show up when you think he ought to show up, but he sure will show up on time. Glory to the Lamb of God. That's all I came to give you today. But there is a Father who will teach you. He'll help you to learn his ways. He will give his word to you. He will allow you to work along the way. And as long as you worship him, you won't have to worry about a thing. Jesus found himself hanging on a cross of Calvary. And in the midst of all the darkness, in the midst of all the craziness, he looks up and hollers at God, not his Father. He says, God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gets himself together, because by the end of his speaking, he says, my God, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In other words, I trust you with my breath. I trust you with my life. I'm going to give myself over to you. And the Bible says he died. Didn't he die? He died. But look at here. Because the Bible said he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. His arms are stretched wide. He's bowing in humble submission to the Father. He's glorifying God. That's a moment of worship. If you're able to bow before God, you're worshiping him. He worships him and he does die. They bury him in a borrowed tomb. But right early on the third day morning, the Father, glory to God, the Father, glory to God, the Father raises him up. He raises him up with all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. And watch this. Jesus is not selfish with the power. He offers it to everyone who would believe. The Father might take you through some stuff, but he'll bring you out. Ask Jesus. He'll take you through and he'll bring you out. I ain't gonna mess you up because I can call some of your names because he took you through and he's brought you out. I don't want to tell your testimony, you ought to tell it yourself. God will bring you through some stuff and he'll bring you out. And I thank God today that he just gave me lessons that I learned along the way as I made my journey out of what I was in. And some of you are in some stuff right now. Some stuff you got yourself in. And some stuff somebody else pulled you in. But whatever you find yourself in, learn the lessons along the way. For the Father is about to bring you out. He brings you out with great joy. You better bless him. You better give him glory. You better give him honor, for he alone is worthy. I thank God today for the journey. I don't thank him. I thank him that even though I have to endure some pain, that I've got to be having to learn something along the way. Nobody enjoys pain in their right mind. Nobody in their right mind enjoys pain. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to cry all night long. No. Nobody wants to walk the floor
day and night. But if I'm going to walk, if I'm going to cry, if I'm going to ache and hurt, I believe God is about to do a great work. And while on my journey, I'm learning what he is teaching me along the way. Because the faith that has been built up on the inside of me is that God is going to bring me out of this, and I'm going to come out all right. Glory to the Lamb of God. Ever how I get out, I'm going to be all right. Why? Because he's working it out for my good. Did you hear what I said? He's working it out for my good. Yeah, he's working it out for your good. Yo, endure the pain. Go through the suffering. Go through the struggle. But the Father will bring you out. Isaac says, Daddy, we got the wood. We got the fire. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Mr. Hunter, you have questions to God about how you're going to make it through what you're going through. Hear God say to you, I will provide myself an out for you. Learn the lessons from your father. The Father up in heaven says, I got this. It's not your worry. I got this. You go the way. I got this. You say the right words. I got this. You do the work. I got this. Just worship. I got it. Don't you worry. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen.